A man by the name of John Bradford a long time ago said this: let a man go to the grammar school of faith and repentance before he goes to the university of election and predestination. And what Bradford meant by that was not that the teaching of election is only for the educated, as if you have to go to seminary to really understand what it means. Rather, what he meant is that it is a teaching from the Bible that is easily misunderstood. And if we misunderstand it, Christians, it's going to lead us into trouble. But it is still important for all of us to know. And when we understand it rightly, it is a great comfort for those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at what Paul has to say about the doctrine of election in our epistle reading for today. And I'm going to focus on one sentence in particular, starting at the very beginning of the reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, I'm going to divide that sentence into four parts. And the first part is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A right understanding of election, Christians, of God's choice, should lead us to give thanks to him and to bless him for the mercy and the goodness which he has shown to us in Jesus Christ, his Son. Because knowing that God has chosen me to believe in him should be a cause of wonder. Who am I that he should choose me? Doesn't he know everything that I have done? I can still remember all of my sins. And I know how many times I continue to sin against him, how often I continue to turn away from him. Who am I that my Lord should come to me? Who am I that my Lord should choose me? But God's choice, Christians, God's election, is not something that is deserved. It is God's pure grace, and that is certainly worth giving thanks for. Because if we misunderstand this, Christians, it could lead us to take this for granted, either by convincing me that it's something that had to happen, as if God had to choose me, as if God had to offer me grace, as if God had to give me faith, that he was somehow obligated to me, or by leading me to be indifferent, to not really care about how truly wonderful it is. If the thought of God choosing you leads you to pride or to apathy, then you have not understood it rightly. Because God did not have to choose you. God did not owe you anything. But in love and in mercy, he chose you to belong to him. He saved you and forgave you even though you did not deserve it. I mean, we would be grateful if we were saved out of a disaster here on earth. How much more should we be grateful that we have been saved out of hell? A right understanding of election should lead us to praise and to give thanks to God for his great and amazing mercy. Second part of the sentence, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We should never think about election, about God's choice, apart from Jesus Christ, as if Jesus has nothing to do with it, as if God somehow picked us apart from him. That might lead us to think that God, a long time ago, just randomly chose some people, that he was pulling names out of a hat. And we might even think that therefore someone can be elect, can be chosen, even if they never come to faith in Jesus Christ. But separating Jesus from election like this will only lead us into spiritual pride, thinking that we are somehow elect, that we are saved, no matter what we do. That was the problem with the Jews. They thought that they were God's people. We are God's people, they said. We have been chosen out of all of the nations of the earth. And we have God's temple. God himself dwells among us, so who cares what we do? We will still be God's people, even if we cheat and steal and lie and treat our neighbor like garbage. But election is not a matter of my blood or my heritage. Election is not something that is ours regardless of how we live. God has chosen us in Jesus Christ. He has called us to a living faith in him, so that those who are elect walk in a new life, both now and forever. The third part of the sentence, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So Paul makes it perfectly clear that this election, God's choice, happened in eternity, that God chose you to believe in him even before he started to create the world. I know that Genesis begins with the words "in the beginning," but that is the beginning of created time. That's the beginning of all that is currently now. But God, who is not dependent on his creation, and God, who has always existed apart from it and from time, in eternity, knew who you are. And he knew who you would be. And apart from anything in you, he chose you to belong to him. God created the world, Christians, knowing that he would send Jesus to save you. God shaped the mountains, knowing that he would redeem you by his blood. God set the stars on fire, knowing that he would deliver you from sin and death. It has always been his plan and his will to deliver those whom he has called so that they would be with him forever. Now, I'm not even going to pretend to be able to understand or to explain why God did this. Why God created the world knowing full well that we would be sinners. Why he made everything knowing that we would fall. God's ways are not our ways. And his wisdom is far beyond our own. But it is enough to say that it pleased the Lord to do this. It pleased the Lord to choose you long before you knew him, to the praise of his glory. And it's important to emphasize this, Christians, because otherwise we might think that God has chosen us because of something in us. That, especially if we think that election, God's choice, happened in time, as if God saw us on one day of our life and chose us right then and there. God did not choose you because of you. He did not choose you because of how good you are. He did not choose you because of how much good you would do. He did not even choose you because of your faith, as if he saw that you believed in him and then said, "I will choose this one for that reason." Election comes first. God's choice comes first. And faith follows after. Election is the root. Faith is the tree, and not the other way around. And before you had done anything, good or bad, God chose you to believe in Jesus Christ. And he chose you in eternity, even before the world began. Because election is purely by the grace of God. Fourth and finally, that we should be holy and blameless before him. A right understanding of election, Christians, will lead us to be holy. God's choice is not something abstract, as if he put you into this category that is going to go to heaven, and therefore it doesn't matter what you do. A right understanding of election will never make us lazy, thinking that I've been chosen, so there's no need for me to do anything. I've been saved, so who cares what I do? That's turning election into an excuse for sin. And if you don't care about your sin because you're elect, then you've missed the point. Rather, God chose you to be holy. God chose you to be like him, to be righteous and godly. And God has even prepared all of the good works, which he now calls you to do in Jesus Christ. Knowing that God has chosen you, Christians, should lead you to strive even harder against your sins. It should lead you to strive even more to do what God wants. It should lead you to be the Christian that he has called you to be. We are who we are because of God's choice. And God has chosen you to be like him, both now and forever. I'm not going to pretend that I've covered everything. There's still so much more that could be said. I mean, we're only going to graduate from the school of Jesus Christ when we enter into glory. But it's enough to say that when rightly understood, election is a very comforting thing. In those moments of doubt, when we are faced with the reality of our sins, and we wonder how God could ever love us, we may turn to God and his mercy in Jesus Christ and know that we are saved by grace, a grace that he has shown to us even in eternity from before the foundation of the world. Let us pray. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in love has blessed us in him by choosing us to believe in you, we give you thanks for the love you have shown and for the mercy which we did not deserve. Lead us to do what is pleasing in your sight, to the glory of your holy name. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen.